As Johnny mentioned, voters' rejection of Prop 1 could mean the announcement of bus service cuts as early as this week. The first round could be the elimination of 72 bus routes. With more on the implications, we're joined by Mark Hallenbeck. He directs the Washington State Transportation Center. That's a state agency that works with the University of Washington and WSU to provide research on transportation issues. So, Mark, one of the points made by Yes on Prop 1 is that there'll be more cars on the road if Prop 1 doesn't pass. It doesn't look like it did pass. Do you think there will be more cars on the road?
Sure, there'll be more cars on the road. When you lose bus service, people who were previously taking those buses will have to do something else. Some of them will cram onto the other buses that remain, some fraction. Now, it depends on what the bus options are. Other people will ride their bike if they can. But for the most part, they'll move to cars because that's the other option.
For those of us who still want to be strap hangers, I've noticed that since the Great Recession began, there have been more people riding buses in King County. So how do you think these cutbacks in service will affect ridership? Will more people be trying to get into fewer buses?
Yeah, more people will be trying to get into fewer buses. Total ridership, I can't tell you. I suspect, given that things are increasing, given where there's an awful lot of development happening there, the Amazon campus in South Lake Union, the rest of South Lake Union, those are prime transit-friendly kinds of places if we provided transit. So in those areas, I think you'll see more and more crowded buses. In areas outside of that, I think you'll see people find other alternatives.
You know, I worry about people who don't have other alternatives. Some people cannot afford a car. They really rely on the bus. What's going to happen to them?
They'll take the bus service that is available. Mm-hmm. They'll walk. They'll ride bikes. They'll hitch rides as best they can. If absolutely necessary, they'll move. People are adaptive. They will do what's necessary to do what's necessary.
You know, the spokesperson against this proposition said he thought it was going to win. I mean, you've been watching transportation issues here for some time. Were you surprised that it went down and apparently decisively went down?
I'm always surprised by elections. I'm just a poor research guy who does transportation stuff. So, given the long drive to it, I expected it to win. I was a little surprised when the Seattle Times came out against it, in large part for a couple of pushes. One, their feeling that Metro didn't appear to be forthright with what was actually happening if they lost, and the other then being there seems to be some pushback that Metro isn't as efficient as they ought to be. They ought to be less expensive in providing their services. And you already heard of experts who pay attention to the politics, but to me that resonated a lot. Whether in fact those things resonated with other people, I don't know.
Now, King County they say they're going to go ahead with cuts. What are they going to need to consider now that they're faced with the fact that they're not going to be getting this additional revenue?
Well, there's three things that they have to do. One, they have to look internally to their system and say, what can we do differently? Can they cut administrative positions in some way, shape, or form? Can they cut support positions in some way, shape, or form? And again, I don't know anything about the interior workings of the county's transit operation. The other two areas that they really work on in transit service, one is broad geographic coverage and the other is high density routes. And so if you're trying to serve the poor, people who have no choice but to take the bus, what you need to serve those people is coverage that goes everywhere. The problem with coverage that goes everywhere is that you can't afford to run buses everywhere, and therefore they come infrequently. So they come once an hour, but if you really need it, you can get there and your life isn't efficient, but you get where you need to go. Those buses tend to not be ridden by a lot of people because they're not useful in terms of people who have alternatives. Who wants to wait an hour for a bus? So those services tend to be used modestly, and therefore the cost per rider tends to be relatively high. But they go everywhere. The other alternative is you serve high-density movements with an awful lot of buses, which makes them very convenient, which means people tend to use them. So, the University District of Downtown is my favorite example, the 70 series buses. They are crammed. They come every 10 minutes at the worst, and they are full of people. And so they pick up and drop people off all along the way. They're great services. On the other hand, they serve a very limited population. And so, you can get away with coming every 15 minutes instead of every 10, right? And so what you do is you take buses that are standing room only and you make them crush loaded.
Sure.
So
and everybody in the county pays, so everybody wants something.
That's right. And so the problem in transit is that's great English, right? Sorry. The problem with transit is you have these two very different markets, and you have to figure out where your funding is going to be spent, how you're going to balance between serving the poor everywhere and serving these huge, really important markets where you need to move a lot of people in a relatively small amount of space. Amazon, downtown, downtown Bellevue, U District.
You know, Joni was speculating there that this might finally get some movement on the state comprehensive funding package that we've been hearing about for well over a year now, and state lawmakers don't seem to be able to move forward on it. Would that package contain enough to sort of take some of the pressure off of King County Transit that has now been placed on it by the defeat of this measure?
Well, it depends on what goes in in the package. You know, my joke about politics and transportation is the best transportation funding is stuff other people spend that helps you, right? And so that's our problem in the statewide package is, you know, the East Side wants somebody to pay for 520 other than tolls. And heaven forbid that we should toll I-90 because, you know, Nebraska paid for I-90. And so we don't want to have to pay for I-90 again. You know, and Eastern Washington looks at this and says, you're going to raise my gas taxes so you can have a bridge? Heck with you. And that's really hard. So then, you know, the transit people versus road people, Eastern Washington versus Western, finding a package where everybody feels comfortable with what they pay versus what they get is really hard.
Well, we'll see whether this moves forward the statewide package at all. Mark Hallenbeck, thank you so much for coming by. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Happy to help.
Mark Hallenbeck directs the Washington State Transportation Center. It's a state agency that works with UW and WSU to provide research on these transportation issues. This is The Record on KUOW.
We asked you earlier today what you think about the results of the Proposition 1 vote. We got some mixed reaction.
I was really looking forward to the low-income bus fare because I take my kids to school, day camp, the YMCA on the bus every day. And for us, that means that we're going to have to cut out some other activities.
I voted against Prop 1 because the news coverage didn't even say that the money was going to be used for light rail. And since I live in West Seattle, I don't want my money going towards downtown special interests.
That was Michael, and before him, Rebecca. As the cuts to Metro roll out, let us know how you're affected. If you really are affected, you can write us, record@kuow.org. This is The Record from KUOW.